Hello, welcome or welcome back to the Woke Pussy Podcast. My name is Penelope. Today I wanted to talk about when people are triggered in your life, when they go unconscious in those triggers mostly. There's really no problem in someone being triggered if they have some space between that trigger and they can sort of have two screens, if you will, where they can see reality, what's really happening. And where they're noticing that they're reminded of some kind of trauma because of what's happening, but that what's happening is not the same scenario as the trauma. It takes some awareness. It takes some energetic mastery. For example, let's say that you were in a relationship and your partner at the time cheated on you. And it was really devastating and gaslit you and, you know, did the whole thing. And, you know, you're still working through healing that and there's still some wounds, there's still some scars there. But you work through it, but then you get a new partner and they're fucking wonderful. They're great. But they also go on business trips, just like your last partner. And every time they go on a business trip, it triggers all of those feelings of being betrayed and lied to and cheated on in your past relationship. If you are unconscious of that trigger, you are going to react to your new partner going on a business trip as you would your old partner who was lying and cheating and betraying you. You know, that is not going to work for your new partner because that's not what they're doing. And underneath that accusation, why it's so hurtful is because they sense that you are not seeing them clearly. You're not seeing them at all. You're seeing the filter, a projection of someone else that you've overlaid onto the person in front of you. And, you know, one of the things we want the most in our relationships is to be seen. And when we're not seen, it's very hurtful. And furthermore, being not seen and then being accused of something that we aren't doing and then being mistreated and or pushed away makes one feel really incredibly helpless and powerless. Because if that person was in fact doing that terrible thing to you, they have power in that because they can, you know, make amends, they can repair it, they can change their behavior. But if they're not doing that thing, but they're being accused of it because you don't have the consciousness in that moment to be able to notice that how you're feeling and what you're seeing is internal, as an inner projection, and it has nothing to do with the reality of what's actually happening outside of you. There's nothing that they can do about that. There is no power for them in that. It is a world and a scene that you are creating all by yourself. You are not in reality. You are not present. You are stuck inside of yourself. You are stuck inside of the loop of the trauma. You are stuck inside of a room where all you're seeing is a screen of this thing playing over and over and over again. And it's just, it's hard to explain if you've never been on the other side of it. It just feels helpless. you're watching somebody that you love see you in a way that isn't true. And it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter who you really are. It doesn't matter what you say. If they're committed to repeating the pattern of their trauma, they will repeat the pattern of their trauma, and then they will blame you for it. So now you've become the villain. While they're either mistreating you or pushing you away or taking back everything that they've given you because now they don't feel safe with you because you remind them of this other thing. So you must be doing it. You must be like that. There's a bit of a paranoia in it, actually. It's fucking heartbreaking. And all of these months of me going through the breakup of my marriage, it is, until this, a similar situation of this sort of projected trauma where I got recruited into, you know, doing something that looked like, you know, that was similar enough that they could run the story on top of it of, oh, well, you're doing this because, you know, just like this other person does, and this, like, this always happens to me, and you're doing that too, and I can't believe you're doing that too. And I'm like, I am literally not doing that. That is literally not what's happening. But it's like everything gets erased. All they can see is that program, that pattern. And you're just standing there, like, desperate on a level. Because you're just like, no, please see me. See me. Look at me. Look at what's really going on. Like, look at the actual evidence of our relationship together, of how I've behaved, of, you know. And sometimes people just can't do that. They just can't get out of that space long enough, because the emotional payoff of proving themselves right, the ego proving itself right, everyone always does this to me, you know, this always happens to me. When you make those conclusions about yourself or about life or about people, when you say always or never, your subconscious mind, like, has no choice but to prove you right, even if reality isn't actually evidence to prove you right. It will drop a screen in front of your face, and it will show you an overlay, a filter on what is happening in front of you, and basically overdub the story so that it matches what you believe. We are at the mercy of our settings, for better or for worse. Someone was talking about Elizabeth Taylor the other day, for example. I think it was Amber Khan, but on one of her episodes. And I found this really interesting. You know, Elizabeth Taylor has, like, the most, she's, like, the most requested celebrity in plastic surgery. Everyone thinks she's incredibly beautiful. And it was, like, on one of her trips to the Betty Ford Clinic, because she was an alcoholic, you know, she was like, she's never felt beautiful. She never thought herself to be beautiful. And the problem is that if you believe, in this example, if you believe your settings tell you that you're ugly, it doesn't matter how many people think you're beautiful. It doesn't matter. The objective reality doesn't fucking matter. If you're unconscious of that setting, everything in you is going to defend that setting. You will sabotage things. You will create scenarios that are going to prove that setting right, no matter how opposite the reality is. And it's heartbreaking to watch. It is heartbreaking, especially when it's someone that you love. And it's even more heartbreaking when you are the one that they're projecting the role of the villain or the bad guy onto, so that they can play that thing out all over again to reinforce that belief in that setting. And you become this like helpless pawn in this ego game that they're playing that they are not even aware of. And oftentimes, if the energy is strong enough and potent enough, you will go unconscious and actually do the thing that you will do, a very similar thing. It's like being possessed. Like it has happened to me before, where I was like, what the fuck happened? Why did I even do that? Why did I even say that? It's like it takes over you and you have no choice. You just do the thing. You say a thing and they're like, see, I knew it. I fucking knew it. But they're unconscious of the fact that they put you in that place. They pulled you in. They put this costume on you. They gave you the lines. And then they played it out, and then they're like, see, you're a fucking bad guy. You're just like this other motherfucker. And that often happens because, one, there's, I think in a lot of cases, it's the inability to receive their good. Because of the setting that says good doesn't happen to them. People don't love me. People betray me. Nothing good ever happens to me. So if something good actually happens, because the desire for something good is always there and God is always trying to get to you the thing that you desire. Because you have these experiences like, oh, well, shit never works out for me. You know, I always have to do shit alone because, you know, nobody ever has my back. Like those kinds of ideas, which come from conclusions from real experiences. So I'm not negating that. Your conclusions come from real experiences. But the other issue with conclusions is that conclusions create autopilot settings with which you just recreate reality over and over and over again to look exactly the same as those past experiences. So somewhere there has to be space to say, this has happened often. It has happened a lot. It is definitely a pattern, but it doesn't have to keep happening because I know that I've prayed for the opposite. But then we get in this like, oh, well, this must be too good to be true. There's no way that this person I've called in actually loves me unconditionally. There's no way that this person I've called in now is actually willing to fight for me or actually willing to give me the space or the time or the patience that I need. Or, you know, of course, there's this disbelief that it can happen. Because it never has before. And in that disbelief, we sabotage it. We make it look like the other thing because we're so afraid of the unfamiliar experience of actually having things the way that we want them to be. We are much more comfortable, even if it's shitty, in what's familiar. So if you've always been rejected, you get comfortable in that. Even though every time you get rejected, you pray for the opposite experience. Eventually, those prayers manifest. But if you can't be conscious enough to be present enough to see what's in front of you, to take the objective evidence, it's not just like, you know, just believe sight unseen or whatever. No, actually, like, do inventory. Look at that person in front of you. How have they behaved? How do they treat you? What happens if you have conflict? What do they actually do? Take the inventory. Go back through. See the person. See the situation in the objective truth of it. You have to question what your mind is telling you at all times. Especially if you're feeling off center, if you're feeling insecure, if you're feeling unsure, if you're not feeling solid and confident, that's when the mind really can come in and fuck with you. It takes the devil, the mind, the devil mind takes the opportunity to keep you locked in the chains of your negative beliefs, of your self-sabotage, of the things that keep you small, of the things that keep you broken, of the things that keep you from receiving love, from being full of yourself, from fully expressing yourself. You have to question everything. If you are on the side of the one being recruited into someone's role-playing trauma, drama experience, it can be really devastating, especially if the story that is being projected onto the screen isn't who you are at all. I know for me personally, in my relationship, I tried everything. I did everything. I said everything that I could while still trying to take care of myself and what I needed. But also explaining that, okay, if I come home late, it's not because I'm cheating on you, right? Like in the other example, like if you're, did I use that example in this? I've recorded this podcast for once. This is a hard topic to nail. It's very nuanced. It's a very visceral and energetic experience. It's not so easy to put into words. But in case I didn't use that example, the example is if you had a partner before that lied and cheated on you every time they went on a business trip, and then they gaslit you about it, or they come home late and gaslight you when you know they were at a hotel with their mistress or whatever, you're in a new situation and they come home late and it brings up all of those feelings. And that's what I meant by that. If you are the one being accused of something that you're absolutely not doing, and yet the person in front of you insists that that's what you're doing, and you're like, I'm literally not doing that. And they say, no, but this is how you feel about me. And that is not how I feel about you. But they are so convinced by their trauma, by the screen of this sort of inner projection that they're seeing, and they don't actually see you clearly. It is really devastating, because there isn't anything you can do. If they're unconscious of it, if they're unwilling to come present and come outside of themselves and actually see you, and they're only seeing you in this sort of distorted version through this filter of their trauma and their triggers, it's devastating. They don't see you. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can try. You can try to point it out. If they're mastered enough, if they're conscious enough, maybe they'll be able to see it when the trigger subsides, when they come back to center later, a couple days, a couple weeks, however long it takes. But sometimes the ego is hard. And it's very committed to its stories. And it doesn't matter how much they prayed for a different experience, and then God sends you into their life to show them a different experience. If they're committed to the old experience, if their ego has been hardened and is too terrified to let the new experience in, they will make you the villain. They will make you the bad guy. And there's nothing you can do about it. Granted, if you are being a villain and you're being a bad guy, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about when they've gone blind and unconscious and they don't see you at all. And at the most recent situation that happened, with me and somebody, just reminded me of how much I dealt with that over the last several years, and how my heart can't handle it. Because they're not seeing you. And at the time, over all these years, I was fighting against it. I was defending myself. I was constantly defending myself. Like, no, I'm not. That's not what this is. Like, I'm not doing that. That's not what this means. Like, you know, it's an interpretation. It's a perception. It's a choice, ultimately. If you want to, you know, this is not what actually happened, but as an example, if you want to believe and you choose to believe that every time I come home late from work, it's because I'm cheating on you, even if I'm not, then there's really nothing I can do about that. There's nothing I can do about that. Your inner perception and your subjective reality that you're seeing through your filters and all of the distortions of the trauma will not allow you to see the real truth. And after so many years of fighting to be seen, to be understood, to be known, defending myself against the perception of the trauma that was projecting a distorted image of me, I can't do it anymore. It's a losing battle. It doesn't end well. they can't see you, if they can't separate themselves from the projection of their trauma, if they can't see that the trauma is just trying to repeat itself and it's trying to get you to play the role with them to reinforce that trauma, if they can't see that that's happening, eventually they're going to push you away. In the one case where they're completely unconscious of it, it's just a lot of trauma. It's a lot of gaslighting. It's a lot of crazy making. It's a lot of confusion. It's a lot of, you know, you questioning yourself and gaslighting yourself. And it's just a lot of craziness. There's another level where they do know that it's trauma, but they still can't see you. They're aware that they're triggered. They're aware that it's trauma, but they don't have yet the mastery to be like, oh, I can see that this is, it looks like, okay, you came home late. And I can see that that makes me feel like you cheated on me because my other partner did that. But I know that you're not. And I'm going to, I can see you. I see this trauma, but I can also see you. That you can work with. But if they can't see you and you're not cheating on them, but you go, but they, you know, you get home late and they can't see both screens, they're going to treat you like someone who is betraying them, who is lying to them, who is mistreating them. And it doesn't matter what you do. They will push you away. Or they will create a scenario where you have to leave. Where they will leave you. Because they have an inability to see the truth. And they want to prove that part of them wants to be proven right. So if you get accused of cheating on someone enough, you end up being punished for a crime you didn't commit. You know, human nature is to be like, well, fuck it. I guess maybe I will have an affair. Again, this is not my personal example. This is just a general example. And then the person who, you know, it's like they force you into doing the thing. They create the conditions for which you end up doing the thing, even if it's not the same thing. They have to prove themselves right. And they will create the conditions. They will bait you. It's a fucking trap, but you don't know that it's a trap. And you step into it and you get your leg cut off. I don't know, man. I wish that I knew how to. This should happen so fucking fast. I only ever know that it's happened after it's happened, because in the moment, you're just kind of in the flow and it's almost like something takes over you. And when you look at it, when you look back at it, you're kind of like, that's weird. Why did I say that? Why did I even act like that? Like, what? I didn't even want that. I didn't even want to do that. Like, I can't help it. Like, something energetically in me is like causing me to do this thing that I don't even want. And then they're like, okay, well, right? But it fits this narrative. And there's this something about the energetics of our soul contracts of like we are like, we become the thing that the person We are mirrors, and we become what someone, when we're in really close relationships, especially intimate ones, especially soul connections, we become the thing the other person needs to see. Even if we're not that. It's like, it's a very loving thing on a level. Okay, I'm going to do this thing that's going to trigger you so that you can see this trigger because you can't see it. It's unconscious. I digress a little bit. It, again, we're getting into like soul things and nuances and energetics and subtleties of the way of the multidimensionality of connections and how we operate. So especially like what I've noticed for me is I'm a priestess. I'm a channel. I am in service to desire. And sometimes that desire is for someone to move forward through something, but they have a trauma or a trigger or a self-sabotage kind of pattern that's not going to allow them to get the thing that they desire. And so in, because I'm in service to desire, the vessel that I am will take that projection. I'll wear that costume for you. I am not actually that character. But as a clear channel, my energy will allow you to put that costume on me so that you can work out your shit. But if you don't know that that's what's happening, you believe that I'm the villain. You forget that I'm just wearing the reflection for you, that I've agreed to play this role for you. You forget who I really am. And then you start to treat me as though I was actually that character. That's what happened to me. And if they are convinced that you are that character, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. They will force you to be that. If their thing is, as you don't really want me and you don't really want to be with me, and they really believe that, even if it's not true, they have to prove themselves right. They will create a way. They will force your hand. They will force a situation upon you where you won't want to be with them anymore, where you will want to leave. Because then they can be right. And you won't have a choice because the conditions that are created are so absolute. That unless you were to completely abandon yourself and completely destroy the relationship you have with yourself, you can't stay. And so not only have they pushed you away, they've made it your fault. And they don't even know that they were the one that put the villain costume on you in the first place. And when you're the more conscious one and you're watching this happen and you're watching someone destroy a blessing and a gift, when you're watching someone sabotage what they've prayed for, what they've asked for, in favor of righteousness of their story. It's heartbreaking. And I don't have any fight in me left to defend myself, to fight for. I can't care more or fight more for you than you fight for you. I can't care more or fight more for an us than you are willing to. So I've noticed recently that I'm just not available for that. I'm not going, like I used to be available. Sure, okay, I'll put the bad guy costume on and I'll let you work your stuff out. And no. Unfortunately, I don't know how to stop it when you're in such close proximity. It's just a thing that happens. And so, unfortunately for me now, distance is the answer. I don't want to be close enough to someone that I get pulled into that game anymore. It's devastating. I don't have it in me. And, you know, you have to assess for yourself if you find yourself in a situation like that where it's obvious that someone is not seeing you, where they're only seeing the belief, the image in their mind and the distortions of the role that they've recruited you to play, like whether it's their mother or their father or an ex-lover or their best friend in elementary school that bullied them. Like, it's really, you can't do much about that. Except just not be the person in front of them when that trigger comes down and they start playing that movie. I don't know how to prevent it. I just know for now, that I don't want to be that close. The collateral damage is too much. So yeah, I don't know if any of this made any fucking sense. If you have questions, comments, or concerns about this topic, if you felt that I missed something or there's something kind of confusion, again, it's, I haven't been as articulate lately as I used to be. But yeah, my advice for you, if you're in a situation where you can see that someone's trauma has them continuously accusing you of something that you're not doing or that you never intend on doing or aren't even capable of doing, or just is not the truth of how you actually feel, but they keep trying to tell you how you feel, and you're like, that's not how I feel. It's like they get mad at you that you won't play the fucking game with them, that you won't play that role when you are centered and grounded in who you are. And you're like, no, I'm not that. I won't ever be that. But they insist. They insist on running their programs, that nobody wants them, that they have to do it alone, that, you know, everybody leaves or everybody cheats or everybody mistreats them or whatever. And they're just committed to that story. Run. Just run. You know when you can feel that they're committed to something, that they're not open to healing it, that they're not open to seeing it, that they're not open to bringing more conscious awareness to that place. Just take a step back. Let things roll for a while. If they do it again, take another step back. There's only so much you can do. It's like beating your head up against a wall. It's like screaming into the void. Now, mind you, the other side of that pattern for me, I have a pattern of people not seeing me, of people pushing me away and rejecting me. And so it does not escape me that that's the result. It gets very complex. It's not just what they're doing. It's not just their commitment. It's you too. What are you committed to? What narrative, what story, what thing always happens to you that you're not willing to let go of? You will see it in these patterns. So it's the chicken or the egg thing, right? Yes, they're doing what they're doing. Yes, they need to become conscious of what they're doing, but you also need to become conscious of the payoff for you. What does it prove right about you and your life? For me, it's that I don't get to have the thing that people always leave me, that people can't see me. So they have their work to do. You have yours. I have mine. That's mine. It's both. It's all the things. Yeah. Well, my wrist is hurting from holding the phone. Good talk. Again, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, you can DM me at Pen Calloway on Instagram. You can email wokekittycity@gmail.com. Other than that, if you are local, we are doing a full moon soul alignment yoga and Reiki. We do that for every full moon. This one's on Sunday, March 24th at 5 p.m. You can go to alchemystudiosphx.com for more info on that. And yeah, just hit me up. Let me know if you had any aha moments. If, you know, just let me know. Give me some feedback about this episode. I have no idea what I said, honestly, which is usually means it was channeled, which is good, but I'm still going to go back and listen to it again. And yeah, so hopefully I will get to some more tarot after dark stuff. I have decided not to do by the sign, even though that's how I started the channel, because I don't know, I find it actually hard to sustain. I'm really focusing on my art right now. That's what I really want to do. So everything else has been just me getting recruited into being what other people need me to be. That's something I'm working on. Really staying strong in my edges and staying strong in my boundaries and who I am. And not forfeiting that for connection. Because disconnection from the self is never worth connection with anyone. It's too fucking expensive. So, okay. Hit me up if you need me. I'm still available for tarot, inner child healing, woke pussy, erotic embodiment, whatever you need, just let me know and we'll figure it out. Okay. I love you. Thanks for being here. And I'll talk to you again, hopefully sooner than the last time. But yeah, that's all for now.